The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Oh, say it again. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful to you. We're thankful to Jesus. We're thankful to the Spirit of grace. We're thankful, Father, for one another. We're thankful for the gift and the blessing of God that dwells among us. Oh, how we praise you today for your blessing. We praise you for the work of the Spirit in us today. Lord, I yield my heart, my mind, my mouth, my soul, my body, my being to you, to be used by you to glorify the name of Jesus and to lift up all that God has done in His Son and given to us. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that? You can give a shout to the Lord and be seated. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Well, it is an honor and a pleasure to be with you again this morning. It's been about 4 years since we were here. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. But think about it, 4 years. And the only way I have of really connecting with that and remembering is that my daughter had just graduated from high school, and she came with us that trip. And in 2 weeks, she's graduating from college. And so, yep, 4 weeks. 4 years. There you go. So God has been faithful. He's been good to me in these past 4 years. Has He been good to you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love to talk about the goodness of God. We can never completely exhaust the goodness of God, but we can certainly move in that direction. We can think about, talk about, and explore. The Bible says in Corinthians that the Holy Spirit would help us to explore the profound and the bottomless things of God. So that's what we're going to do today. Hallelujah. If you would, please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Now, I have to ask you, did you come in faith this morning?
Yes.
Did you come believing God with me?
Amen.
Is there something I can do to help the microphone? Is there something you need me to do? I'd like for you to come up even further. It's pretty far up there.
Further in the center.
No, down.
Now you want? Well, you point it up. Now, do you want it up? Do you want it down? Do you want it in the middle? Do you want it to the right? Just tell me where you want it, and that's where we'll put it.
I'm just gonna angle it this way.
Okay.
That's it.
Got it? Are you good?
Good.
No more rumbling and roaring, except of the Holy Spirit, right? You good? Okay. Guys, I've been wearing this collar for a long time.
I think we need a house. It just needs to be more family.
I don't know if I should talk or not. Okay, we got it? Now it's revealing a little bit more than I originally intended. Okay. Are you happy? Okay, we always want audio people to be happy. They hold the power of the spoken word in their hands. Okay, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus said, "Do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Think of that. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And He says alongside that, He says, "Don't be afraid." When Jesus said, "Don't be afraid," it covered fear of everything. Fear of failure, fear of lack, fear of starving, fear of dying, fear of anything that you could be afraid of. He said, the answer to all of that is in the kingdom, and God is delighted to give you the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a wonderful word. But what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom of God? When we think of a kingdom and we want to put it over into an earthly context, and that's a good place to start, that a kingdom, we think of a king and we think of all that the king would own. You know, the lands and all the resources, and that he would have be the majesty and the controller of all that he owns. But Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is not just meat and drink, not just things, but it is righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost. Well, I like to look at things and say, okay, that's all really good, righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Ghost, and those are good words, but, you know, I want to know what they mean for me right now. What does he mean, righteousness? That's kind of a churchy word. You don't hear, I don't know, when was the last time in the middle of one of your sentences with your best friend you used the word righteousness? When did that word last come up in conversation? Okay, when was that word last on your vocabulary test? You know, right on the tip of your tongue that you just could hardly wait to talk about righteousness apart from church. But what is righteousness? Righteousness is everything that's right. Well, okay, what does that mean? Right. What do you mean by everything that's right? Well, you know what? If it's right, it works. It's pretty simple. If it's right, it'll work for you. If you look it up in the dictionary and you find out the things that are, if something is right, it means it will produce a desirable result. Everything that's right is in and of God. If it's not right, it's not God. But if it's right, it's God. So righteousness is that presence and that force and condition of being right. Righteousness. No darkness in him whatsoever. No lack. No shortfall. No insufficiency. And he goes on to say the kingdom of God is not just righteousness where everything works to a desired outcome. But it's also peace. If you've ever had Sister Billy Brim here, I know you have heard that peace is what? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness, fulfillment, satisfaction, well-being, peace. And joy in the Holy Ghost. What is joy? Is it just a hop and a skip? Is it a two-step on the platform? Oh, joy. Bible says the only way to describe joy is to say that there's fullness of joy in His presence. Joy that lifts you above all the circumstances. A joy, a force, a power, a being, a presence that lifts you above everything else to where there is peace, where there is righteousness, where there is a place of assurance and security. And a smile on your face in spite of whatever your eyes can see. Hallelujah. And all of that, he says, is wrapped up in the Holy Ghost. Wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. So how big is this kingdom? It's not just the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's not just the mountains, the rivers, the sun, the stars, the moon. It's not just the people that are on the planet. It's not just the stars and the galaxies beyond. But it is everything that is right. Everything that is good. With nothing missing. Nothing broken. And the fullness of His presence. The fullness of His goodness. The fullness of His peace. All given and given to you to enjoy and to partake of. It is not what belongs to God. It is God Himself. God doesn't have goodness. He is goodness. You know, in that song you sang earlier, and it says, "You alone are good." I think sometimes we misunderstand that phrase and think that God is good and nothing else is. But instead, look at it this way, that all that is good is God. And all that is God is good, and there isn't anything good outside of Him. So why would we want to look for goodness anywhere else? Why do we foolishly seek for the good things? Why do we want goodness apart from God? He's all of goodness. And He says it is His Father's good pleasure to give you His good kingdom, to give you Himself, to give you of Himself, to give you all that's right, all that's good, all that's whole, all that's full, and all that is full of joy. Now, how do we get that? It's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. But so many people, because they don't understand how they can get it, how they have access to it, they'll start to seek some other way and think, well, that's too hard. God is too big to understand, or too complicated, or too hard, or too severe, or too demanding. I could never get hold of that kind of goodness, so I'll seek my own definition. I'll seek my own goodness. But He gives us access to that goodness, Bible says in Ephesians 2:18. We have access to the Father, or you can say, we have access to the kingdom by the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13, a familiar verse, and Jesus said, the dissertation, He said, okay, let's say your son asks you for a piece of bread. Would you give him a stone? No, if he asks you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Would you give him a snake? No. And if you, being as you are, know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? So you put those three scriptures together. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we have access to this kingdom by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit of God given to us that we might access this kingdom of God. Not the kingdom that belongs to God, but the kingdom of God Himself, and to explore and to know Him. Let's look then, how did this kingdom come? How did this power, this Holy Spirit, how was He delivered and given? We have access to the kingdom by the Holy Spirit. But we know in Acts chapter 2, it was the giving of this kingdom, the giving and the access of this kingdom that came into the earth on the day of Pentecost. And on this day, when it had fully come, they were assembled together in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like the rushing of a violent tempest blast. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, which were separated and distributed and settled on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. All of the fullness of the Spirit was released in His fullness. God held nothing back, nothing of Himself. No doors were closed, but all the access to that great kingdom of Himself was given into the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. No holding back. No longer a fire on an altar or a cloud in the temple. But now God, who is a fire from the loins up and a fire from the loins down Himself, came and sat on the 120 who were in the upper room, and He filled them with Himself. And they became a fire from the loins up and a fire from the loins down. They were fire from head to toe and from the inside out. This fire of God didn't stay on them in an upper room, but it spilled into the streets and the age of the operation of the Holy Spirit in and among men had begun. Sure, the Holy Spirit had moved among men before. Well, all through the Old Testament, There were examples of the amazing manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The working of miracles was seen. Gifts of healing. Signs of great faith. Words of wisdom and knowledge that were beyond human resourcing or intellect. There were prophecies and foretelling of the future with pinpoint accuracy and detail. But all of these phenomenal displays of God's might and His abilities were only evident through the prophet, through the priest, and through the king. And then decades would pass, even centuries would go by, that there was no expression of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit seen anywhere on the earth. We can't imagine it. But on that day of Pentecost, the promise of the Father through Jesus, the Son, was fulfilled, and the Holy Spirit came, as Jesus said, to abide not only with men, but in them. And every previous operation of the Holy Spirit that men had ever encountered, that was elevated to a higher dimension than men had, or human eyes, ears, or beings had ever experienced before. It was beyond their ability to think or to reason. And all the seeing and knowing of the prophets, all the visions, all the dreams, all the ability to step out of this world and to talk and to converse with angels, all the powers of the heaven, the powers to stop the sun, the powers to overcome wild beasts like Daniel and David, powers to redirect the course of nature, redirect the course of rivers and oceans, all the abilities and the release of life that had healed lepers and raised the dead, even the power that had been so strong that the residual of it in an old man's bones raised another from the dead. All of this power that the Old Testament had seen from creation until the closing words of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi that said there would arise the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. All the power of all the working of God of the Old Testament was suddenly brought together. Everything, all the powers of heaven were at one time released with such an explosion of supernatural power that the sound of it was heard throughout the whole world wherever there were human ears that could hear. And like a violent blast of wind, the sound of it filled the earth. The presence of God filled this little room, filled those people, and it overflowed in a way that no human had ever experienced before. How did God choose to release this atomic force of heaven? How did He choose to release it among men? Was it more prophecy? More visions? More dreams? Signs, wonders, miracles, healings, demonstrations? How did this power from on heaven, how was it distributed among men? What one thing, one release was big enough and strong enough to contain all of those things, all of those powers of the Spirit, the powers of Genesis and Exodus, all the parting of the Red Sea? What was big enough to contain all those words of the prophets? What was strong enough to harness this power and distribute it among men? It was something that God, and only God Himself, could have devised that would resurrect the connection between heaven and earth. And what was it? Tongues. Speaking. Praying. Praising in the tongues of men and of angels, unlearned and untaught by human abilities. Heaven and earth had been reconnected, and God had restored man's ability to speak God's will into being unrestricted, unrestrained, and unleashed through yielded vessels. Now, every operation of the Holy Spirit can be touched and accessed through this supernatural contact with a living God. Prophets of old prophesied of things they couldn't understand. Priests would fall in the presence of just the mere cloud of the glory of God. And they could not stand to minister under its weightiness. But now, even the children, the sons, and the daughters could prophesy. Old men were dreaming dreams. Young men could have visions in the night. And even the maids and the men servants could now flow in demonstrations and powers of the Holy Spirit. Finally, men were coming out of spiritual darkness and into the light of the glory. And the Apostle Paul dared to pray that the eyes of men's understanding would be so flooded with light that they could intimately know and understand the mysteries of God Himself and His kingdom. Through this great apostle, the Lord revealed the ways and the workings of the Spirit and of His glorious, glorious Holy Spirit imparted into man. 1 Corinthians lays out for us how tongues opens our eyes and how it opens to us and to our minds the mysteries and lays hold of God's will and transfers it from that kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of God that is within human vessels. Let's look into this power and this gift that has been given of God for men to access His kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. First Corinthians 14:2, for he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men. Speaks not to men. But to God. In the Old Testament, men barely dared to speak to God. Men barely dared to approach the presence of God. And not without the blood of an animal shed. And the thought of hearing from God, Bible says, was more than they could even bear. And on Mount Sinai, when they had seen the presence of God come upon the mountain, they backed up and they withdrew and they said, "No, Moses, you go speak to God. We don't want to speak to God. He might answer us." But God desiring to commune, God desiring to fellowship, God desiring to reveal Himself and to talk to men and to have men talk to Him and to be eye to eye and face to face, even as He dared to begin to be with Moses, revealed and opened up the heavens, poured Himself out by His Spirit into man and said, "Now commune with me. Not on your level as a man, but on my level as God." He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Verse 4, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He improves himself. Think of it. Think of it for the first time ever. You, a person, just a person, just a human. Suddenly you have within you the ability to control and to empower yourself in the things and the realm of the Spirit. You have been given the ability to determine your own spiritual destiny. And all of the resources of heaven have been given to you at your disposal and said, now you edify yourself with what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Talk about the gymnasium of heaven. Now the very weightiness that used to throw people on their knees is now the weight that you exercise within your being. And it gets heavier and heavier on the inside of you. And you continue to work it. And you continue to lift it to God. And what happens? According to Ephesians chapter 3, out of the rich treasury of His glory, you are strengthened in your inner man by the Holy Spirit, so that with all the saints you may grasp and lay hold of the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width of the love of God, and so that you don't just know about God, you don't just hear about God, but you experience God. And the more you do it, the more you lift that weightiness, the more you edify yourself in the Holy Spirit, the more you build yourself up in God, the more of God there is in you and at work in you.
Hallelujah.
And your capacity for Him is increased. Power is infused and intertwined in your very being. And you begin to be infused with might, with the strength of Himself. For there is nothing that can contain God apart from God. Vessels of honor. Vessels, the Bible says, of gold. Hallelujah. Spiritual gold. 1 Corinthians 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. My mind is unfruitful. This is the refreshing, Isaiah says. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. How is a muscle built? How is strength developed in the body? First, exercise. And then, rest. Exercise, rest. Exercise, rest. Strength comes. So I can go from that place. To that place. The trouble of my mind, the pressures on my mind, the searching of my mind, what will I do, where will I go, what will I say, how will we do it, what is next, how can I, how can we, what will we do? And my mind is searching and searching and searching, and it's looking for answers that it cannot find. The answers are not available to the limitless of my mind. But as I rest, and I set the thinking of my mind aside and begin within the mind of my spirit to think on Him, and peace begins to come. And I tell my mind, no, no, no. We're not thinking now. No, 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 no. Come on. Jesus. And that light begins to rise from the inside. And the peace and the rest. Oh, that's what we'll do. Oh, there's the answer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And my mind says, oh, that was a close one. Strength and ability comes. Verse 15, what shall I do then? I'll pray with my mind by the Spirit within me. But I will pray by my Spirit. I will sing with my Spirit, but I'll sing with my mind. Otherwise, if you bless and render thanks with your Spirit, how can anyone, as an outsider who's not gifted with interpretation of tongues, say amen to your thanksgiving? But be sure you give thanks well. To be sure you do give thanks well. It doesn't seem like anything's ever going on. I'm so tired of this. No matter what I do, it just, always this way. It's so hard. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. All you ever hear, walk by faith. Walk by faith and isn't, I don't have any money. God tells me to do something. There's no money to do it with. How am I supposed to get this done? Complain. Frustration. Why don't you praise the Lord? I don't want to praise the Lord. I don't feel like praising the Lord. Let's all just lift our hands and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's give thanks to God for all the great things He's done. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Do I get a witness? Lord, I'm cranky. Lord, I'm not very happy with things right now. What do I do about it, Lord? I don't think it's supposed to be this way. I don't think that I'm walking in that fullness of joy right now. Could you help me? Could you help me? You know, I know that there should be a praise in my heart, but right now I'm having a hard time finding it. Could you help me, please? Holy Spirit. You who see and know all the great and awesome things of God, could you help me find that wonder of Him in me? Onde que? Oh, hay te cosombrón de estia la marrosta, angli que varrón bon de estia ca, Lord, evrando gesili kiashtago bostesi. And Lord, ekrekisilek emashta. And you are rastolem regishtiaka. And you klekerabala konzenziasta. And you who created the komblom rasta kashta satiata. Oh! Jesus is here! You can follow that track of the Holy Spirit and you look to Him. He will take you to the depth. Ephesians 3 says the depth of God. And you can begin to look and find that place of gratitude because it is the Spirit's assignment and His pleasure to reveal the wonders of our awesome God. And you begin to pray in spirit and the sense and the knowing of His awesomeness. When you pray in the Spirit by faith and the awesomeness of God begins to rise on the inside of you and you begin to bring forth those words and suddenly the things and the pressures and the complaints and the troubles and the weariness and the worriness of the world begins to melt away and the pressure to be angry, the pressure to be mad, the pressure to be unforgiving. One time I had somebody do something and it just ticked me off. I was under such pressure to be mad. Do you ever get under pressure to be mad? Or just me? I tell you, if it hadn't have been my boss, I'd have told him what I thought about it. But wisdom prevailed and I kept my anger to myself, but I was thoroughly upset. I thought what he did and said was rude and out of line, and it was an awful thing, just awful. Here we were in the devotions in the morning. I'm on my knees enjoying the presence of God, and he turned on the lights. Can you imagine such a thing? I thought it was the rudest thing, and I tell you, steam was coming out of my ears. What an awful thing to do. Doesn't he know we're in the presence of God in here? And he turned on the lights. And I could feel myself puffing up on the inside. Kept my mouth shut, but on the inside. But I didn't like that feeling. I didn't want that pressure. I didn't want to be under that. And God, he just so helped me. And I began to pray in tongues. And all of a sudden, that pressure to be angry and that pressure to speak my mind, because thank God he helped me so that my mind was unfruitful, then my mind didn't get to bear fruit. He shut it down. The pressure went away. I was reintroduced to the presence of God, even with the lights on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because there was a praise. You give thanks well. You can come to such a place in the Spirit, praying in tongues, looking for gratitude in your heart, finding that place. Lord, show me something new to be grateful for. Open my eyes. Open my eyes, Lord, to not be ungrateful, to not be dull to the things that you've done. And all of a sudden, the very smallest of things, suddenly you just appreciate them so much. And your gratitude takes such rooting on the inside, and it gets so big on the inside. I've had gratitude just walking through the mall, just seeing things, and just the presence of God, and be so grateful for it that tongues was the only way to express it, that words could no longer contain the bigness of my gratitude for God. Hallelujah. So tongues can take you from no gratitude to such a place that then English words no longer can contain your gratitude. And again, your heart towards God must spill over in a language that your mind cannot learn. Hallelujah. What about in verse 22? Tongues are meant for a sign, not to the believers, but to the unbelievers. Hallelujah. Tongues a sign. Jesus said, this sign shall follow them that believe. in my name, cast out devils, take up serpents, drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. And they shall speak with other tongues. The sign is to follow the believer, not to be the sign to the believer. If you prayed in tongues once in your life, and it still remains to you a sign, then you're not believing. The sign and the believer should be one and the same. We should never push tongues out of our midst, because it is a work and a demonstration of the kingdom of God in and among men, so that the unbeliever can see. That had to be God. But I think one of the most distinctive works of the Spirit is Jude 20. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, you keep yourselves in the love of God. It would be interesting if you were to go back to the first verse of Jude and read through that. The book of Jude is a warning. It's a warning of the end time and a coming of the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist in the latter days. And he begins to compare the great days of darkness of the Old Testament, Noah and others, and the warnings that God gave through Enoch. And he compares that to the last days. And he says, now what is the answer to that? What will keep you from being the one that falls away? What will keep you from being the one that's misled, misdirected, caught up in rebellion, selfishness, idolatry of the world? Well, I don't worship idols. Well, when was the last time you stayed home from church on a Sunday because it was a pretty day? When was the last time you stayed home from church on a Sunday because it was not a pretty day? When was the last time that the beach or the boat or the movies or the bed called more than the assembling of the saints together? When was the last time that television, the video game, the stores, work, the little league, sports, when was the last time that those things, there was plenty of time made for that, and yet the word was left by the bedside untouched? All of these things in our life is the conniving and the deceitfulness of this world. Mark 4 calls it the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. That is a last days form of idolatry that even the church has embraced. And he says, what is our answer to this? What is the answer to this keeping us in faith and in love? Faith works by love. Love without faith is hopeless. When Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7, what did the disciples say? Oh, Jesus, increase our faith. Faith and love. Faith and love. The two things that hold us in that place, so that when the Son of Man comes, we're ready. And he says, you do that, you guard, you keep yourself in the love of God by building yourselves up on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. think, though, the greatest. I think the broadest picture and the magnitude of this praying in tongues is back in 1 Corinthians 14 when he said, in verse 2, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but unto God. No one understands his meaning because in the Spirit he utters the secret truths, the hidden things not obvious to the understanding. What are those mysteries? The mysteries of God. God has always desired to reveal himself. He told Moses, he said, I am Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? I'm the revealer. I am Jehovah, your healing. I am Jehovah, the Redeemer. I am Jehovah, the Provider. I am Jehovah, your peace. I am Jehovah, your victory, your success. God was always desiring through the revealing of His name to reveal Himself. He's never wanted to be hidden. Ever. And now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He says, speak in this language, born of the Spirit, and I will uncover the mysteries. Mysteries of redemption. Mysteries of the Word. Mysteries of angels and spirit beings. Mysteries of the operations of faith. Mysteries of how love works. Mysteries of the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the powers of the Spirit, mysteries of the unseen world, but the mysteries of the known world, the mysteries of art, the mysteries of music, the mysteries of sport, the mysteries of politics and military, the mysteries of medicine, the mysteries of business, the mysteries of literature. How can I say this? These things, I have this idea in my head, Lord. What do I do with it? Pray in tongues, he says, and I'll show you. There's a man who's quite wealthy, and he would go to the Lord and sit before him and say, show me, Lord, how you run the universe. George Washington Carver, a black man, in the early part of the 1900s, early to mid-1900s. And I point out that he was a black man because a black man was not afforded great education. A black man was not afforded great wealth. A black man was not afforded great opportunity. But by the Holy Spirit, he worshiped God. He talked with God. And he asked God by love. He took the little peanut. And he said, oh, little peanut, you're such a gift of God. Show me, O Lord, what mysteries are held in this little plant. And out of just this little peanut and a very crude laboratory, he devised hundreds of ways to use the peanut. One of the greatest minds and inventors in all of American history. Little man who so loved and knew and communed with the Holy Spirit. Mysteries unveiled. Mysteries of our world, mysteries of the Spirit, and the mysteries of our future. Isaiah says that God inhabits eternity. I think of all the scriptures, that one stretches my heart and my mind more than any other verse to think. God said, I am God who is, who was, who is to come. He's as much alive in the was as he is right now. And he is as much alive and present in my future as he is in my present. He doesn't see the future. He's in the future. All the future is in him. And he's there. That's how he can tell me how to get there from here. And he's still alive in my past. You say, how is that possible? Well, let me ask you this. Has the devil ever used your past? He's alive in your past. But he's stuck there. He wants to get into your future, but if you don't let him, he can't go there. The mystery of my future, the mystery of what I cannot see, the mystery of what I cannot know, the mystery of what I cannot reach, I cannot be, I cannot do, I cannot become, the mystery of all of that becomes mine, becomes alive, and I begin to see. He opens my eyes to see and to know. And you know what is so wonderful is that in the New Living Translation of Psalm 139:16, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Oh, God isn't just 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ahead of me. He's in my next moment. He can lead my next step. He can take me moment by moment all the way into and throughout my future and into the eternities beyond. Close with this statement. My father, Kenneth Copeland, said, "My future is not based or dependent upon politics. It's not based in the stock market. My future is based on my inheritance in Christ Jesus. Praying in the Spirit is a divine secret between God and me. It is my future. It is my heritage. It is my destination. It is the vision of my life being prayed out and given birth to before it is even made known to this natural world. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He empowers me through praying in tongues to not only reach into my future but yours, and to reach into the lives of people that I cannot see, I do not know, or the inner workings of people that I have no insight to." I mean, how do you pray for a teenager? How do you get into the heart and the mind of a 17-year-old? God knows. So you pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. This great delivery system of God's kingdom to the believer. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Oh, how grateful we are. How grateful we are. Oh, lekishta prosti. If there be any person in this room today that has never been filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, and that is your desire, this altar is open to you now. Would you come? Would you come? Any person, everywhere we've gone through this Refresh 08 series of meetings in Australia, people have come to the altar to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you've been at that place in your life where it seems hard, it seems dry, and you pray, but where's the life? Come, let me lay hands on you and let the freshness of the Holy Spirit be poured out in you anew. Hallelujah. Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come expecting. Come believing. Jump on it. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Arrodesti librato se le firishta ka. Lebarandondo se dirishta la kafroshta sta. Erindiso dre. Elekindom brandashta la lekimrondashti la prasta sta. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands to God and know that Jesus said, if you know how to give a gift to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? You just open up your heart, and as I lay hands on you, then you by faith begin to speak. You let words flow. You don't let your mind think about it and analyze it. Too much thinking, not enough drinking. Too much thinking, not enough drinking of the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Radomba rashta le kizomba. Herindishta lavrando se le kivrano mashta. In the name of Jesus. Aronda. Now by faith begin to speak out. Let tongues flow. Brando de gili kishtambro. Let all the saints be praying now. Give your supply. And giri gisondom brandara. Speak out, sweetheart. Just say something. Brangonde de kishtato prakatarena. Yeah, yeah. Now speak boldly. Don't speak to men. Look right in the face of Jesus and pray and speak in other tongues. Erambandosh de lebra haro kastazashtiatara. Elobronde de shtashta. Be refreshed in the Holy Spirit. And rambronde lele kishara ha ha ha. Odzerishtaza. Edombarando se lebrashtasiashta. Hallelujah. Rado se le kibrano shoyata. Ezo paranara le didia sholeaka. Onde ala la le dia roni li dia la la baro manana. I andande ale voroni se diri didia la la le lia kayana. I ala lo veri didia sonde anai. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yield to the Holy Spirit. Or indeed, these some things that the Lord's been eager to share with you. Ready, 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 ready to tell. Just give Him that time. Give Him that chance. Oh, Ramashalele Lamoroshta Sakatashtia. Endaravrato Sizashtayata. In the name of Harombarale Kitrovrashtele Siashta. Thank you, Father, for your the fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Endomba dashile liasota parashtiza sa. Edovo kanishe leva haroba zahaya klikiso zebra. O rashtiza sa so shindigitita sa shata tata kasa. Inglege varata ta shasa siata. Ingere gole vragoste lele kisa shata tata shtayata. Embrondon dindidista sa sa shtayata. The questions and the doubts that you've had about yourself that have been swimming around in your mind, if you will give time to praying in the Holy Spirit, those thoughts, those images, those ideas, and even the desires that you know that are not of Him will begin to melt away like wax in the presence of the Lord. And He will satisfy your mind. He will satisfy your desires. And He will paint on the palette of your heart and your mind the image and the design that He has for you and for your future and for your life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Aradoho sa 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 so boshteata. Elo voro prota sa sa shtiata. In the name of Jesus, that all the weight and heaviness and the broshta, the grief that this world has borne on your mind, be loose from you in the name of Jesus and the freedom and the light and the glory of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of joy that comes from His presence, not only upon but from within. In the name of Jesus, lift you, bring you the lightness of heart and the beauty of His holiness. In Jesus' name. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, saints. You can do it. Stay connected. Yeah. So, well, there you go. Hallelujah. Thank you. There are some things that the Lord needs you to take hold of like a charging bull. But you're going to have to find that place by letting the Holy Spirit lead you to it. Much time, much prayer, much thinking on the things of the Spirit will lead you to a place of boldness and might and strength in the Spirit. Not for other men to see, but for a work to be done from the throne of God and from the throne that He has seated you on next to Him and with Him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Haradada havrosta. Everana hole kinere bashum gregisiza hare ki ya prodoste sia la kashta in the name of Jesus sahakasho desiata hera le kishta sopo dobranda elavado desia kambrosta si. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, prosta si sasa. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did I pray for everyone? Did I pray for everyone down here? Has everyone been prayed for? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The last verse I want to read to you is a charge to you from the Holy Spirit. I've had your pastors so on my heart while we have been here. And so I charge you with this word from Philippians 1:19, which says, I am assured and know that through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit, this will turn out for my preservation and for the spiritual welfare of my own soul and avail toward the saving work of the gospel. Paul combined the work and the need of the Spirit to work in his own soul with the success of the preaching of the gospel. And he said, I'm convinced that these two things will happen as you give your supply of the Holy Spirit by praying in other tongues. You are to come to this. You think it's no big thing for you to miss church and to not think about church from Sunday to Sunday. But I'm telling you, it is vital to the assignment and the purposes of God in this city, in this community, in this nation, and the world. And what you bring, how big is what you bring? How big is the Holy Spirit in you? That's how big it is what you bring. And He did not fill you with a part of Himself. He filled you with Himself. That's how big it is what you bring. And you come already having prayed. You come with a supply of the Spirit. Always in touch. Pastor ought to be able to stand up here and deliver a word to you. And if you're not saying amen, he can see your lips moving, knowing that you are divinely connected with the Spirit of God, given a supply so that the unction of the Holy One is delivered across his lips with the power and the might and the intensity of all of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, I thank you for your kind attention. I thank you for your graciousness and your faith. And I bless you. I bless you from Fort Worth. I bless you from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. But most of all, I declare to you the blessing of God upon you, your family, your household, and this wonderful house of the Lord. Amen. Amen.